You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Bible, to give you a little bit of a hint. So go way back to the beginning, start at the table of contents, and go about five books over, and you'll find it, which is great. Welcome to our digital family, to our Cypress and Siena and downtown campuses as well, and those on the radio ministry. We're so glad that you're connected with us. So it is Father's Day, which is awesome to think about that it's Father's Day. I love Lord Rochester's quote. He said this, "Before I got married, I had six theories about bringing up children. Now I have six children and no theories," okay? So it's really easy to be a parent when you're not one, right? It's easy to talk about being a dad when you're not one, all of those things. But you get into it and it gets a little bit harder as you're going through this time of parenting. And so for those of you that are parents, or grandparents, or you're a teacher, or you're a coach, or you're just a friend of some kids, whatever it is, an aunt or an uncle, I've got a few words for you. They're gonna be great right out of Deuteronomy. Now, this is a really important book of the Bible. We're just gonna hit it a few verses in chapter 6. Deuteronomy was written by Moses. It's the end of the Torah. It's the end of the Pentateuch. So this is a really important Bible book and Bible verse. Your Jewish friends know this verse that we're going to study, that we're going to look at. And they love this verse as well. This is a big time verse. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 is where we're going to jump in. And those of y'all that are watching online as well, Vacation Bible School is this week at the Loop campus, so that's why I have so much things behind me, okay, if you're wondering what's going on as you're watching online and all campuses as well. Chapter 6, verse 4, "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is one." The Lord is one. So monotheism, one God. Verse 5, "Love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them on as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your city gates." So this is a huge verse. It basically saying the Lord our God is one. And then he says, I want you to love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your soul, and all of your strength. So this is a huge verse. You might remember this verse from the New Testament where Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? And what does he say? He says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. He goes way back here and grabs something from Moses and says, the number one thing you can do is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Now, that means something, particularly in Hebrew. The heart was the equivalent of the mind or the rational part of humankind. So your heart was actually your decision-making, your will being able to line that out. Your soul was kind of the untouchable, the invisible part of an individual. That would be your sensibilities and who you are deep inside you. That was your soul. And then your strength, of course, is your physical side. Your capabilities, what you're able to do with your functions and all that you can do. So he's saying, I want you to love me with your heart, which means your determination, your intellect, your mind, your rational thinking. I want you to love you with my heart. Now, we think about the heart being this just emotional part. And it is, and that's a great place to use it. You know, I love you with all my heart. We're talking about an emotional thing. But also when you say to your children, I love you with all my heart, you've also made a decision that you love them regardless whether they do good, whether they do bad, that you love them. So here's what I want you to know. All of those things come together. It's the greatest commandment that Jesus says to the Father, to God. So our parenting actually begins with our relationship with God. Our relationship with God, the Father, is a good determinant and a good resource for our parenting as us as fathers. The next verse that it gets to is a great verse in verse 6. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Here's my first verse that I want to give you. Parenting begins with the parents. Parenting begins with the parents. Doesn't mean that everything's on our responsibility. There's good parents that have bad kids, and there's bad parents that have good kids. There's a lot of things that we do right, and we're doing the best we can. I always say that I want on my tombstone just simply these words, he tried, right? That's all I want. That's all I need, just he tried. Didn't have to get it all right. And so I don't want you dads to take a whole bunch of guilt upon yourself in this message, moms either, grandparents either, but parenting begins with the parents, meaning that we have the opportunity to really influence our kids for the Lord. So the greatest thing you can do as a dad is fall in love with Jesus. That's the greatest thing that can happen. And the more you're in love with the Father, the greater he'll be able to be the resource to you as a father. Jesus loves you. Jesus forgives you. Jesus isn't trying to beat you over the head with some kind of guilt. Jesus is one that wants to infuse you in your mistakes and the things that you've done right so that then you can have the resource to be able to go out as a dad. We want our faith to be contagious. We want it to be sticky. We want it to be something that we could say, follow me as I follow Christ, as Paul said. There's a song that I like. It's called Talking to Jesus. It's by a group called Maverick City, but it's talking about the importance of prayer, of talking to Jesus. And the first verses are about this guy's grandmother talking to Jesus, and then about his mom talking to Jesus. And so that was a great thing. I love the part just to kind of get a little laugh at all of us in a sense. Talking about, he says, Mama used to drag me to church Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, khaki pants and a polo shirt. Boy, did I put up a fight. Then it gets on further through that, and it gets to him talking about him as a dad. It says this, I've got three of my own now, trying to raise them upright. My oldest is 15, and I remember what that was like, trying to deal with the drama, trying to figure out the questions in life. I've been looking for a way to show him how to make it all right. Then he walked into my room, and while I was saying my prayers the other night, and he said, I'll come back later. I can tell you've got a lot on your mind. I said, it's not an interruption. Watch. It's not an interruption. You couldn't have picked a better time because I'm just talking to Jesus. Come over and give it a try. And we started talking to Jesus. We started talking to Jesus. We started talking to Jesus. Oh, oh, oh. And now he is talking to Jesus. Thank God he's talking to Jesus for the rest of his life. Yeah, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Did you see what happened? The faith got transitioned. It got moved. It went over. So dad, I got a mission moment for you, meaning the dads, we love things to do lists, things that we could do. What can we check off and do? Here's your mission moment, dad. Here it is. Pray for a family member a day and tell them that you did it. So here's your mission moment. Take a different family member, one of your kids, your wife included as well. It could be your parents, it could be whoever. Take a family member, particularly your children, and pick a day that you will pray for them. Now, you're probably going to pray for them a bunch of days, but I'm just talking about giving you the next 3 days assignment, 4 days, 5 days, however many kids you got, to be able to have an assignment. Just every day this week, pick a kid and pray for them, and then tell them that you did. Shoot them a text. Just wanted you to know I'm praying for you today. I love you, and this is what I'm praying for you today to do that. Now, a couple things that'll do. One, it will give you a model in connecting with your family of being able to pray for them. Two, dads, you know this as well as I do because I'm a dad. We love getting credit for things that we do, right? If you're going to clean the house, wait until your wife's about to come home and then be finishing up right as she walks in the door. Don't finish early, right? Because you won't get the credit that you need. And if you do finish early, jump back up and do something else right as she walks in the door. It's great. Be there. I was just washing the dishes, honey, just finishing things up, right? Doesn't count if you do it hours before and you tell her you did it. Let her see you doing it, okay? Now, I've told you the secrets, ladies, of what we do. We want credit as dads, and that's a good thing. So tell your dad thanks as well. So dads, pray for them and also tell them that you did it. I'm lying and joking about, you know, so that you can only get credit. But so you can make that connection with that one that you're praying for. It's always encouraging to me, and I know it is to you, when we're able to connect and somebody can say, I prayed for you today. That's a blessing. This church is so loving to me and my family. I get cards from people. We're praying for you this week. We love you. That means a lot. And let's do that with our family and our friends as well to do that. Look, if you will, into verse 6-9. And I want to show you this. We went over 6 just a little bit. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Make a decision. Verse 7, repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up, bind them as signs on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your city gates. Verse 7, repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house. Everywhere you go, repeat principles and protect purity. Dad, what are we to do? Everywhere we go, repeat principles and protect purity. It says there in verse 7, repeat them to your children. Then whether you're walking along the road, whether you're lying down, whether you're getting up, whether you're sitting down, do this everywhere you go. Repeat principles and protect purity. Don't you feel like as a parent that 90% of your job is just saying what you've already said like 10 times, right? And even sometimes we'll say, I'm not going to say this again. And the kids are like, oh, yes, you are. I bet you're going to say it 20 more times. I'm going to tell you one time. You are living in La La Land, parents. You're going to tell them 100 times to do all these things. So parenting is a continual repeating over and over and over. And then we have these moments where we just get as parents, we get sick of hearing ourselves. And then we have these moments where we think, I sound just like my parents. I vowed I would never sound like my dad, and I sound like my dad. I vowed like I'd never sound like my mom, and I sound like my mom. Why? Because parenting for generations and generations is repeating yourself. Here we are in the fifth book of the Bible, and Moses writes down, repeat to your children, right? Again, I say rejoice, Paul would put it. So repeating these things over and over and over and protecting purity, it's really hard in today's world because purity is just assaulted, isn't it? It's so difficult. What can we put in front of our kids? What can we not put in front of our kids? Every parent has thought the movie was going to be good until that scene, right? We thought that would be okay until that word. We thought this would be fine until this da-da-da-da. And so kids, we're not trying to curtail your fun. We're trying to protect your mind and protect your eyes and protect your heart. That's what we're trying to do. Why? Because we love you and we've committed our heart to you. And we care for you. So it's repeating. It's over and over. It's learning to protect purity and repeat principles. And then it has an interesting thing. It says, well, when do we do this? Talk about them when you sit in your house. Let's just take a time out here for just a second. We have to sit together as families. Sit together. This busy, frantic world in which we are always together on our screens doing different things. I said recently to my family, I said, you know, it used to be when I got into the car and we would go on a family drive that the whole time the parents would tell the kids to be quiet. And now parents are trying to get the kids to talk, right? There's no more divide the line. Your brother's here and your sister's here. No more. I don't want to hear another word for a mile. It's like, could somebody talk to me? Anybody talk to me? Huh? What did you want me to say? Just one more thing I need to do here, right? So sometimes in the car, I'll say, everybody's phones right here. And we'll just set them right here. Be able to do that. Now, of course, we don't know how to find where we're going once we turn in our phones. We can't listen to any music. We can't buy anything while we're riding down the road. But we can talk, and then we don't know what to say to each other. Everybody take your phones back, right? But we got to learn, we got to relearn to sit together, to sit together. Do you know that the time that we spend together, that family meal time has been dramatically decreased since the 1950s? I mean, just like on a mountain slide down, to sit together. Family meals have dramatically decreased, but let me give you just a few statistical things to just speak to your mind for a second. Here's what it says here in this one study. Authors have reported that they have found that 72% of American teens that regularly have family dinners with their parents are either consider them either very or fairly important. Among the teens who do not have regular family dinners, 60% would like to do so more. So you think, well, my kids don't want to eat with me. No, 72% say it's important. 60% say we'd like to do it even more. Do you know that if you have family meals together 5 to 7 days a week, those who only eat dinners fewer than 3 times, the 5 to 7 days, more than the three or less times, they're nearly twice as likely to use alcohol just by the amount of family dinners, the lack of family dinners, twice as likely to use tobacco, 1.5 times more likely to use marijuana. The study reveals that 3 out of 4 teens report that they talk about what's going on in their lives during dinner. Now, this could be out to eat. This could be at home. This could be out of a sack that you put on paper plates, some Whataburger, okay? You can do all that. That's great, whatever. But getting together and being able to do that, teens that frequently eat dinners together are almost 3 times more likely to have excellent relationships with their mom and 3 times more likely to have excellent relationships with their dad, one study shows. So it's important that we sit together. How do we sit together? Let me just take it one more notch and I'll give you a couple things in your listening guide, some things for us to think about. Number one, God, family, and friends is the order of priorities. God, family, and friends is the order of priorities. When you're talking about what are you gonna prioritize with your kids, here's the it. God, family, friends. Now, friends are going to try to sneak in there, kids, to be more important than God or more important than family. But let me tell you what, you're going to have a lot of different friends in your life. You're only going to have one family. And so you want to make sure that that's right. Let me give you an illustration from baseball. You'll see players that will play on numerous teams, but there's only one team that they get to choose to be in the Hall of Fame with, right? So if they have like a 10-year career with one team and then a couple 2-year spots with some other teams, they're going in at that point, you know, as an Astro type of thing. They're going in as whatever the other team is that you want to throw in there. They're going to go in as that. That's your hometown team is your Hall of Fame team, and that's to be your family. You're always a part of that. You're always a part of that. Frazzled families, number two, frazzled families fragment. Say that 10 times fast later today. Frazzled families fragment. Don't overcommit. Weigh the cost versus the value. All of life is a return on investment back and forth, isn't it, dads? What's the cost? What's the value? I have a good friend. He's a trainer of professional athletes. And he actually, we Kelly and I train with him as well, which is a joke that he lets us to do that. And it's funny because just a while back, the normal people were on one side and then he put all the professional athletes on the other side. And I told him, I said, I'm so glad you got those professional athletes away from us. I mean, they are messing up my workout big time. You know, we need them over there type thing. Here's what he told me and it chilled me. I said, what do you think about youth sports these days? He said this. For every one Tiger Woods, there's 1 million kids that hate their dad. For every one Tiger Woods, there's 1 million kids that hate their dad. Now, does that mean it's got to be one way or the other? That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying we got to weigh the cost and the benefit of everything that we do that takes away from family time. It takes away from family time. Socrates said, I hate to see how you claw and scratch to get all these things for yourself and you don't take care of your kids. So we've got to be able to develop the core family, frazzled families fragment. Don't overcommit. Be very careful that you spend time to sit together. Next, quality and quantity time are necessary. Quality and quantity time are necessary. Sometimes we say, well, it's just quality time. It's not. It's quantity time too. We got to spend a lot of time with our families, and that's a key thing. Next and last on this section, decrease distractions and increase conversation. That's what I'm trying to get at with this spending time together. Decrease distractions and increase conversation. Now, what if you're hearing this and you're like, oh my goodness, why didn't you tell me this like 20 years ago? Why didn't you tell me this 5 years ago? Why didn't I hear this before? Let me just tell you, Dad, don't have guilt. Don't beat yourself up. You did the best you could. You did the best you could. And be able to let the grace of God, the fatherhood of God, wash over your heart. Ask for forgiveness where you need to ask for forgiveness. Trust in the Lord deeper where you need to trust in the Lord deeper. Make it right where you can make it right. We aren't always given the opportunity to make it right. But if you can, then you can do that. But to be able to allow the Lord even to show his love for you. There's never been a perfect dad. And if you were a perfect dad, they wouldn't need Jesus. And dads were particularly hard on ourselves a lot of times. You know that 50 years ago, we have tripled from 50 years ago the amount of time that fathers are spending with their children. Tripled in 50 years. That's awesome, dads. That's incredible. We've also spent more time, ladies, this might not feel like this, but we have spent more time as well on household chores. We've over doubled that on household chores of dad spending time helping around the house to be together on that. So that's great. But listen to this, fathers. But only 39% of fathers said that they're doing a very good job. Only 39% of fathers feel like they're doing a good job. Dads, don't be so hard on yourself. Show yourself grace. I'm not a perfect dad. You're not a perfect dad. Allow God to show you his grace in your heart, your life. You know, you tried. You're trying. You're here right now listening because you care, okay? So just put down that big stick that you beat yourself up with. That's not what the intent of this is. It's to give us some practical things, yes, but to be able to walk these things out in the grace of God as well. And allow God to be the forgiver in your heart and your life as well. So what's your dad mission moment for this? Here's your dad mission moment for this one. Give a word of encouragement to your person for the day. Remember when I told you to pick a person? I told you to pick a person to pray for. Tell them you're praying for them. Adding to that same person, we're putting on one more thing, and that's for you to give a word of encouragement to your child, to your friend, whoever it is. It could be a verse of the Bible. It could be a quote. It could be a song lyric. You could send them a song. You could do whatever. There's three things that every one of us need to hear. You know what we need to hear? Number one, I love you. Number two, I'm proud of you. And number three, you're good at fill in the blank. Those are three things every kid needs to hear, every adult needs to hear. I love you. I'm proud of you, and you're good at. What happened with God the Father and Jesus Christ? For this is my son for whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, right? Same three things happening with God the Father saying to Jesus as well. So that's your defining moment, but you're not gonna get it perfect. My son is in college now. And I used to travel a lot. I still travel a little bit, but not as much as when I'm the pastor as when I was doing college ministry. But we would go all over the place. And so we took him on his first trip. It was to Atlanta for a conference I was speaking at. He was in a car carrier. We took a picture with the pilot standing there in the jet bridge on his first flight. And then he had ended up being on hundreds of flights by the time he was like 3 years old. I think he'd been on 200 flights or something crazy. So we just took him everywhere we could go to be able to do that. So we went to Atlanta. We got on the plane. We went to the conference. I wasn't speaking at this section of the conference. We listened to the speaker. Kelly and I got into the car. We were blown away. All I had to do as a dad is to clip the car seat into like the base of the car seat, click it in. That's all I had to do. That was my only assignment. You know, Kelly had gotten him dressed. Kelly had changed the diapers. Kelly had done everything it was to do. All I have to do is clip him in. I clip him in, and I sit down in the front of the car, and we start talking about, that was an amazing message. Can you believe, what did God say to you? Oh, it's great. Turn, 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 drive into the hotel. I open up the back door. The car carrier has flipped upside down, and he is so tight. I did have him in there tight. He's suspended, rappelling suspended with these things right here, and I'm like, dear Lord, don't let Kelly see. Don't let Kelly see. Don't let Kelly see, right? Because you're only in trouble if the wife sees it, right? She can fix it before that. It never happened. So I start grabbing. She opens up the back door. And, you know, Kelly's sweet. She is sweet. But not when you start messing with Mama Bear, okay, at this moment. She's like, and I'm like, he's fine. He's alive, right? It's okay. So I grab my, flip him over. She's like, you didn't clip him in. I'm like, no, I didn't. She forgave me, and it was fine, and it was okay. But he just was suspended like that. And I was like, so this is how fatherhood's going to be. I got to pay more attention, you know, than what's going on. You're never going to be perfect, but here's the deal. Keep walking together and persevering for God's purposes. Keep walking together. So did we never travel again together? No, we still travel together. We never make any more mistakes. No, we made continual mistakes and still do. But you keep walking the road. Listen to verse 7. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hands, a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your city gates. I want you to write these things down. Keep walking together. Keep walking the road. Put the puppy in your pocket and take him with you everywhere you go. Let him see you in all different places. Talk about the things of God as you're driving down the road and say, well, what do you think about that? What do you think about that place? Well, look at one of these establishments. Don't look at that billboard, but what would you think about a place that has that kind of billboard? What's going on these things? And talk about it as you go. Keep walking together. Live, sit, sleep, repeat, lie down, do it again. Godly repetition is the key. Parenting is a marathon. Rest, sit, all those things, but keep going. Godliness, here's what we're trying to do. Godliness at my house, not just the church house. Okay, so we wrap this thing up. Downtown, hang with me. Godliness at my house, not just the church house. Sienna with kids all around, Cypress with kids all around. Godliness at your house, not just the church house. Did you see what it said, that last verse? Write them on the doorpost of your house and the gates of your city. It doesn't even mention the church. And we spent a lot of generations dropping our kids off at church, hoping that we'll make them more spiritual and then give them back to you. You're the primary discipler. You're with them all the time. We get them a couple hours a week at best. Being able to disciple them as you walk on these roads. Dad mission moment. Do something fun with your family. Do something fun with your family. Keep your heart having fun, showing them good times. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be expensive. Just do something. Let's go do something fun together and spend time together. Let's play Monopoly. Let's play Uno. Let's have a good time. Let's get around the table and be able to do that. Now, did I just give you a secret recipe for everything turning out great in your life? No, I didn't. Did I give you a few things that you can have in your heart and you can experience God in? Yes, I did. I love my two kids, great kids, and just as you would for your kids, I'd do anything for them. I found the journal from 2001 from when I was at the hospital when Grayson was born. And I just want to read to you just a couple things as we close up, because this is your heart as well. October 15th, 2001, which was his birthday. He was born at 7:02 p.m. This is at 10:45 a.m., and I'm in Research Park. Those from College Station will know that area. It's a beautiful park. It's the last time I've sat alone in a beautiful park, you know, after becoming a parent. Just kidding, but it got really busy. The beginning of a new journal, a new chapter of life, little did I know. Sometime this week, baby Mott will enter the world. It's amazing to think that these pages will be filled with writings. It's almost like invisible ink written by God. He knows every word before they will be written. Thank you, Jesus, for your sovereignty. It is exciting to think of all that the future holds and the baby we will hold. The anticipation has been building, especially now since the due date has passed. It, meaning I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, is coming soon. That's 10:45 that morning. Then the next journal entry, 12:34 a.m. the next day. A ton has changed in the last 12 hours. Yes, it has. In day two of his life, and kids, I want you to hear this. This is the love that your father has for you and your father in heaven as well. We are in awe of the Lord. It's 10:12 p.m., October 16th, room 367 of St. Joseph Hospital in Bryan, Texas. We are in awe of the Lord. What a blessing. The degree of love I've experienced for Kelly and Grayson, I thought today about if the doctor said Grayson and Kelly both needed blood from me. Half my blood was to be given to her and half my blood was to be given to him and I would die. The decision was an instant yes and gladfully won of that decision. I remember writing that exact part, sitting on a fake leather couch with a blanket laying down on it, as Kelly's already asleep, writing that in my journal with tears in my eyes. And I tell you, kids, your father loves you. Your dad loves you. Whatever age kid you are, your father loves you. And he'd give his life for you. And let me just take it one more notch. There is a father that did shed his blood for you. It was asked for him to give all his blood, and that's Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross for you, so that you could have a relationship with God the Father. So Father's Day can get really discouraging this way, horizontally. It can be really encouraging as well. But let me tell you about the greatest father that ever was, and that was Jesus Christ, God the Father sending his son Jesus to be the payment for your sins, to give his blood for you so that you could walk in grace. So student, kid, dad, mom, trust Jesus. Trust Jesus and allow God to do his work in your life. Whether you're a national championship basketball coach or just a dad, maybe nobody will know your name being famous. You trust in this Father. Let him resource you so that you can shine with that Father to these kids and allow God to do his work. Take those missions moments and walk them through and walk in grace. God loves you. Father, we come in Jesus' name and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you can do. And we pray, Jesus, that we would just trust you with everything that we have. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And we ask you, God, that you would move. Thank you for the dads in Cyprus, downtown, Siena, the Loop campus, those watching online. Let us make wise decisions, Lord. Let us not just be frazzled and fragmented. We just trust you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at the Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.